Dames en heren, laat ons beginnen. Ik zie dat vandaag ons het Afrikaans spreken allemaal van ons. Zo, dat is goed. Ladies and gentlemen, honorable members, let's welcome our guest, Mr. Mayor and Mr. Schoeman from the Magistrates Commission, who are here to brief us. We can take the matters further from then. I guess after the briefing we'll have an opportunity to consider the report that comes up here and process it accordingly. Who is taking us, leading the presentation? Mr. Skun.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, for the opportunity inviting us here to brief you on the functions of the Magistrates Commission. My name is Donnie Schoeman. I'm the Secretary of the Magistrates Commission. And next to me is my colleague, Ms. Hans Meyer. He is a magistrate, and he is attached to the Ethics Division, which also renders a supporting service to the Magistrates Commission. A briefing of the composition and functioning of the Magistrates Commission, I will keep it as short as possible. Honorable Chairperson, the Magistrates Commission was established in 1994 by virtue of Section 2 of the Magistrates Act. And the objects of the Commission, very briefly, is to ensure that the appointment, promotion, transfer, or discharge of, or disciplinary steps against judicial officers in the lower courts take place without favor or prejudice, and that the applicable laws and administrative directions in connection with such action are applied uniformly and correctly, to ensure that no influencing or victimization of judicial officers in the lower courts take place, to endeavor to promote the continuous training of judicial officers in the respective lower courts, to make recommendations in this regard to the minister, to compile a code of conduct for judicial officers, which was done soon after the Commission met for the first time in 1993, and then to advise the Minister and make recommendations to him or her regarding the administrative matters applicable to magistrates, including proposals regarding legislation purporting to regulate the conditions of service and relevant matters regarding magistrates, to carry out investigations and to make recommendations to the Minister regarding the suspension of magistrates, to advise the Minister or to make recommendations to him or her regarding the requirements for appointment and the appointment of judicial officers in respective lower courts, and lastly, to advise the Minister or to make recommendations to him or her, or to report to the Minister for the information of Parliament regarding any matter which, in the opinion of the Commission, is of interest for the independence of the dispensing of justice and the efficiency of the administration of justice in the lower courts. The composition of the Commission, Honorable Chairperson, it comprises of 27 members from all walks of life. The Chairperson is a judge of the High Court. The Minister of Justice is a member of the Commission. He himself, or his nominee, now ever since 1994, the Deputy Minister has been nominated by the Minister to serve as a member of the Commission. Then you have, in total, 6 magistrates from different levels. You have 2 practicing advocates, 2 practicing attorneys, 1 teacher of law, the head of Justice College. Now this will soon be amended. Since a representative, I assume, of the Judicial Education Institute will have to replace Justice College because the South African Judicial Education Institute is now responsible for the training of all judicial officers. Then 4 persons designated by the National Assembly and 4 permanent members delegate, 4 permanent delegates to the NCOP, and lastly, 5 fit and proper persons appointed by the President in consultation with Cabinet, at least 2 of whom shall not be involved in the administration of justice or the practice of law in ordinary course of business. It's the biggest commission of all commissions in this country, 27 more members. It's even bigger than the Judicial Service Commission. The commission meets on a quarterly basis, at least four times per year. Urgent matters are dealt with by the executive committee of the commission, comprising of the chairperson of the commission and the chairpersons of the various committees of the commission. A decision by the executive committee is deemed to be a decision in terms of relevant legislation of the magistrate commission. So urgent matters are dealt with by the executive committee if there is such a need. Committees, the commission established various subcommittees to assist it with its functions, namely the appointments committee. Its mandate primarily is to attend to the recruitment processes for the filling of posts of judicial officers in the lower courts. It also deals with transfers of magistrate ad hoc requests for transfers, etc. Then it has an ethics committee dealing with all complaints lodged against judicial officers in lower courts. We have a grievances and service conditions committee, which deals with matters relating to service conditions, primarily grievances lodged by magistrates regarding the service conditions, etc. The training committee has recently been abolished because its functions has have been taken over now by the judicial by the South African Judicial Education Institute, which falls under the direct supervision at this point in time of the Chief Justice. And then lastly, we have a utilization committee. This committee meets mostly once every 2 years. It will consider recommendations for creation and abolishment of posts of judicial officer within the lower courts. Honorable Chairperson, the Magistrates Commission, if you look at the Magistrates Act and the regulations, is primarily an advisory body. The most important issues which are dealt with by the Commission and which takes up most of its time is obviously the filling of posts and then misconduct matters. Unfortunately, there are many, many complaints streaming in and which we all received and which are lodged to the Magistrates Commission against judicial officers. The two busiest committees, subcommittees, therefore, is the Appointments Committee and the Ethics Committee. They meet on a monthly basis, the committees, and they make recommendations to the Magistrates Commission, which will then be considered by the Commission and final decisions to be taken by the Commission. The matters emanating from the business of the Magistrates Commission that will cross your table, Honorable Chairperson, first of all, will be, and most importantly, will be recommendations regarding the suspension of magistrates, provisional suspension and suspension of judicial officers, magistrates, the removal from office recommendations from the Magistrates Commission by the Minister to Parliament for magistrates to be removed from office, and another very important issue that will cross your table is recommendations which are made by the Independent Remuneration Commission to the President regarding the remuneration of magistrates. In terms of Section 13 of the Magistrates Act, the salaries, service benefits and conditions of magistrates are as determined by the President on recommendation of the Independent Remuneration Commission, or the IRC in short. This is done on an annual basis. I am certain that you are aware that magistrates, like judges, are not public servants. They are public office bearers, like yourself, and therefore their conditions and service conditions, their salary, remuneration and service conditions are determined by the President after a consultative process as provided for in the relevant legislation. The recommendations by the IRC for this current financial year, I assume, will within the next month or two reach your table for consideration and recommendation to Parliament. The Magistrates Commission has already completed its consultative processes, and I'm informed that the judges have done that as well, and the recommendations will then be submitted to the IRC for consideration. Chairperson, most of the matters that will come to your agenda will be in relation to misconduct. Suspension, provisional suspension, removal from office of magistrates, etc. Now, Mr. Mayor is from the Ethics Division. We have four magistrates serving within that supporting component, and on a rotation basis, the magistrates will come and they will brief you regarding reports which have been submitted by the Magistrates Commission for consideration by your committee. Many of these issues cannot be finalized by the Magistrates Commission. The Commission is an advisory body, will make recommendations regarding the suspension and removal of magistrates, and that recommendation, since magistrates enjoy security of tenure, will only be final if approved by Parliament. So my colleague, Mr. Mayor, will, and his colleagues will from time to time brief you, as I think is the case today. Some of the reports are on the agenda for consideration. Now, that's briefly an overview of the business of the Magistrates Commission. Honourable Chairperson, I don't want to take up more of your time on this real question. Thank you very much.
Honourable members, you will have for yourself. Is there any question?
There are no questions. Thank you. Thank you for the presentation and just enlightening us about the operations of the committee. I'm sure you can proceed now to go into the cases.
Thank you. I guess everybody shares that view. I certainly do. Okay, proceed. Honourable Chairperson, Mr. Schumann, you already introduced me. My name is Hans Meyer. I'm a magistrate's commission. Mr. Skun took over from me as the secretary in 1997. And I've been dealing with misconduct matters since 2007 on a permanent basis. I was all alone before at Geest, and now even another two posts. So really overburdened. But before I would like to introduce you to the particular matters, maybe it would be just convenient to go to the particular section of the Act, because there are certain procedures to be followed. And I would like to refer to Section 13 of the Magistrates Act. It deals with the vacation of office and the discharge of office. Like Mr. Schumann said, my magistrates are actually not discharged. They are removed from office by the Minister after the resolution has been taken by Parliament. There are four different instances in which Parliament has to take a resolution, and which I would like to deal with, and that's firstly Section 13.3a. That deals with the provisional suspension of a magistrate. Now, the Minister, on the advice of the Commission, may provisionally suspend the magistrate if, and then of course we will, the Commission will, after following that particular magistrate, a reasonable time to submit representations as to the desirability of such provisional suspension, to deal with that pending investigation into such magistrate's office, the fit and properness of her office, or his office, whether he is fit and proper to hold that office. So that's the provisional suspension, pending investigation, pending the misconduct inquiry, if the allegations are of such a serious nature that it warrants the provisional suspension of that particular magistrate, the Commission would advise and recommend to the Minister, and the Minister to table the report to Parliament. The Minister then provisionally suspends that particular magistrate and has to table a report in Parliament within 7 days. And then it's for both Houses of Parliament to consider. Now,
One of these matters is Mr. Malashele, which we will deal with just now, which is on the agenda. That's for a provisional suspension, pending the misconduct inquiry to be finalized. Then, with regard to the misconduct inquiries, we need to, the Commission needs to provide Parliament with progress reports on each and every matter, where matters are provisionally suspended from office on a 3-monthly basis. That's in terms of Section 3, 13.3F of the Act. As soon as the misconduct inquiry has been completed and a conclusion has been made and there's a recommendation from the presiding officer at the misconduct inquiry that the matter be removed from office, and the particular matter has the opportunity to submit a presentation to the Commission, and whereafter the Commission will have to take a resolution and make a recommendation, only a recommendation, that the particular matter be removed from office. And that is then when suspension comes in. So if it was provisionally suspended from office, then a conclusion of the inquiry, the minister must now suspend him from office. It's actually a removal. But that suspension must be confirmed by Parliament and then pass a resolution not to restore the magistrate. If that decision resolution has been passed, then the minister must be informed and he will then remove him or her from office. That is if that's after the conclusion of the inquiry. And that is in terms of Section 13.4A, that if the Commission recommends that a matter be removed from office either on the ground of misconduct or on account of continued ill health or incapacity. So listen, that report has to be tabled as soon as the minister suspends that magistrate. That report must be tabled in Parliament within 14 days of such determination by the minister. And we have a matter of Mr. Msinga on the agenda today, which will be such a decision. The last matter which we have to deal with is when the Commission determines to withhold the remuneration of a magistrate. It is possible, even if the magistrate is provisionally suspended from office or suspended, pending Parliament's resolution to have him removed from office, and that determination has to be made by the Commission itself. So that's the only matter in which the Commission makes a determination and that has immediate effect. It just has to be passed by Parliament. That is, in short, the procedure and the process to be followed, and we are in close liaison with the Ministry and the Ministry itself to have these reports filed in time for Parliament to be considered. I don't know whether there are any questions about this procedure. Thank you, Chair. Then I would like to present the first matter. That's Ms. Malashela. The Commission recommends she be provisionally suspended from office, and the minister has already provisionally suspended her from office. So what is required of this committee in terms of the Act is to confirm the provisional suspension from office of Ms. Malashela. The minister suspended her on the 17th of July 2014, and the matter was tabled on the 21st of July, so that's within the time limits. Chairperson, Ms. Malashela is an additional magistrate at Delmas. She's 50 years old of age, and she's been appointed to the lower court bench on the 1st of November 2004. It's almost 10 years ago. She is still on probation. Her permanent appointment could not be finalized due to poor work performance, irregularities in her work, absenteeism from office, refusal to execute lawful orders, major delays in judgments, and failure to finalize matters and poor utilization of court time. The evaluation report indicates that she is not a fit and proper person for appointment as a magistrate. The matter was referred to the Ethics Committee by the Appointments Committee of the Commission, and the Ethics Committee resolved to conduct a criminal investigation in terms of the regulations and recommended that she be charged with misconduct. And that said it was 4 counts of misconduct, but the Ethics Committee resolved due to the lapse of time not to charge her with misconduct. It was about 4 or 5 years ago. Then in 25 of May 2009, the Ethics Committee again considered an alleged strained relationship between the magistrate and the judicial office, allegations of poor performance, alleged misconduct and prejudice. It was then resolved that a delegation convened at Delmas Courthouse, a delegation consisting of members of the Appointments Committee as well as the Ethics Committee, to discuss the issues and to determine the way forward. The idea was to try and mediate the matter. Visits were scheduled with the magistrate without any success, and the issues at hand deteriorated. Then our chief magistrate, he was the head of the National Judicial Quality Assurance, Mr. Arnott, indicated that Ms. Margaret was for a considerable period of time absent from office, and indeed, while to explain her absence, she couldn't satisfy the commission that he is a fit and proper person to be appointed as a magistrate. She submitted medical reports indicating that she suffers from major depressive disorder and panic disorder. And that condition does not render her unfit to work, but she has to continue with monthly psychotherapy and medication. Then a report dated the 18th of October 2011 was recommended that she doesn't have the capacity to carry out the duties of office in an efficient manner due to continued health. So that's a different. So that we have a misconduct inquiry, a preliminary investigation, we have an investigation into incapacity. And then the Ethics Committee resolved on the 5th of December 2011 to refer the matter back to the Commission's Appointments Committee to make a recommendation to the Minister not to appoint the Minister on a permanent basis. The Executive Committee of the Commission, however, referred the matter back to the Ethics Committee in order to consider whether the magistrate should not be charged with misconduct and to direct a separate investigation in terms of her incapacity. Then the Ethics Committee resolved that a judicial quality assurance assessment should be performed and that that report must be submitted for consideration. This report was compiled by two senior magistrates and covered the period 2010 to August 2012. A lot of concerns raised in the earlier that Ms. Marcella made mistakes in the criminal court that are not in line with her experience on the bench, as I mean, 8 years then since CBC's been on the bench, and that it had a negative impact on the rights to a fair trial. Similarly, the mistakes made in the family court not reflecting her years of experience. She has also a longer standing debt for private phone calls made from the landline of her office, and various complaints resulting in an allocation to the reception court as well. The party had met this prior to 2010 to get this finalized, and there's a history of strained relationships between her and the local attorneys, prosecutors, and administrative staff at Delmas. Her absenteeism from office has reduced since she was in the reception court, but she still has a tendency to be absent on Mondays, which extends then sometimes to Wednesdays. The Ethics Committee accordingly resolved on the 6th of September 2012 that she be exposed to an additional 6 months of probation under the guidance of an on-board mentor. She had a relationship with the previous head of office, which was a white woman. That particular match is resigned, and a newly appointed acting magistrate was appointed, and she was requested to act as a mentor. She compiled a report, and that report was submitted on the 18th of 2013 for Ms. Marcella's comments, and she indicated that she needed a week to submit her comments. Then she responded on the 28th of June. Although the gist of the report was predominantly positive in nature, the acting head of office was not prepared to make a recommendation regarding her fitness for permanent appointment. And then she reports as follows. It was difficult to write a comprehensive report due to the fact that the matter was during the period of extended probation, absent for 39 days, 31 days for vacation leave, 8 days for sick leave. The matter was evaluated on the work done in the reception board. The statistics he provided raises many questions as to her productivity. She often arrives late at work, does not attend in time to circulars or official correspondence which she has signed. Her dedication to her work is questionable, and her third court role is not finalized on the allocated court day. So the traffic report doesn't finalize these matters, and those matters have to stand over to the next day. New complaints were lodged against Ms. Malachin on the 4th of April. inter A, that the control prosecutor agreed that she, in a certain case, held on inquiry into the accused's failure to attend court, and found him not guilty despite the fact that his bail was finally forfeited to his state on the previous occasion. The one that the bail was not cancelled by the magistrate, and she refuses to send circulars and officials, like I've already explained. Failure to finalize the inquest, despite reminders, is one of the only, is also a complaint. She left the office without finalizing her court hold. The acting head of office did not see her way open to discuss anything with the magistrate, and the relationship has become strained, and she often doesn't know what the movements of the magistrate are at the office. The moment she has received a new complaint, she ignores her head of office totally. She didn't submit the monthly statistics. She only did so on 6th of May after various reminders. She didn't respond to a reminder from the commission. Chairperson, she didn't honour bond payments which resulted in repossession of her house, selling the off on a public auction. And despite a court order for eviction, she refused to vacate the property for a year. Now, this was in the Delmas newspapers almost on a daily basis. She really has a problem with outstanding debt. She takes extensive vacation and sick leave. She does not attend case law meetings. A backlog court was created to accommodate the magistrate, and she cannot cope with a normal court role. Her statistics are not submitted in time. Like I said, she often takes time off from work during official work hours. Ordering the ethics committee at its meeting held on the 22nd of May resolved to conduct a preliminary investigation. Again, with the purpose to determine whether there are any grounds for charge of misconduct. And the report recommended that she be charged with misconduct. And the charge sheet was compiled. It comprises of 29 counts of alleged misconduct, and it was served on her on the 5th of March. When she was requested to respond or to submit a written explanation on the charges, that invitation was not submitted, the invitation was submitted, but she didn't respond. She responded by filing a notice of motion on the 18th of June this year in the North Gedenkhof High Court, citing the Commission and the Minister of Justice as respectively the first and the fourth respondents, and she asked for an order now into A to declare the Commission's decision to charge her with misconduct to be wrongful and unlawful, and this application is still to be heard. Seven of the sole judgments taken against her were handed down at the courthouse where she is the judicial officer. And she's sitting in very same court. Today she has still an outstanding private telephone account in excess of 30,000 rand at the court as well. Now, on a later date, the 4th of March, the Commission requested Ms. Malashev to show cause why the Commission should not recommend that she be provisionally suspended from office, pending the outcome of an investigation to her fitness to hold office in terms of Section 33A of the Act. Having considered Ms. Malashev's response, and the fact that she filed a notice of motion in the High Court, the Commission, nevertheless, at its meeting held on the 11th of July 2014, resolved to recommend to advise to the Minister to provisionally suspend her from office in terms of Section 33A of the Act. The Commission is of the view that it is inappropriate for a judicial officer against whom so many civil judgments were taken and handed down from the courthouse where she works as a judicial officer, that she still sits on the bench. The said judgment against the magistrate impact negatively on the good name, dignity, and esteem of the office of magistrate and the administration of justice. And that similarly is also the case with regard to the outstanding telephone debt. And there has been doubt for many years as to whether she is a fit and proper person to be appointed as a magistrate. Her conduct in both the private and professional capacity reflects negatively on her integrity. The Commission holds to view that without anticipating the outcome of the disciplinary inquiry, that existing evidence against Ms. Malashele is so serious that it would justify to have a provisional suspended from suspending the misconduct inquiry preferred against her. And the recommendation is that that she be provisionally suspended from office. Chairperson, the Minister, like I already indicated, suspended her from office, provisionally suspended her from office on the 17th of July, and filed a report in Parliament. So this is now for the committee to consider.
She has already been suspended and a report has been tabled.
That is correct. That's the report which is in front of you. Chairperson.
Can you just
assist us here? From your report, it comes across as if you are dealing with a depressed person. And people suffering from depression are very irritable. And therefore, they can be at war with everybody as a result of the depression. Now, if we don't look at the illness and its effect, we may be wanting to prosecute somebody who is actually a sick person. And when you deal with sick persons, the first thing is not the punishment, it's to address the sickness. Now, did you get a report from the psychiatrists or psychologists who were treating her to find out whether this is a made-up sickness or is a real sickness?
Honourable Chairperson, the Ethics Committee followed that route. Regulation 29 investigation was initiated by the Commission, but she then, via her attorney, abandoned the process and said, no, we're not going to deal with it further. So that didn't want to respond. And I think mainly the depression, the cause of the depression was maybe the strained relationship she had with the previous head of office. But it was, the previous head of office had a similar problem with her, that's why she resigned. So then the commission considered appointing an acting judicial head there to really mentor her. And initially it went well. But now she again is just absent from office. She does as she likes. I hear what you say when she is depressed, but we don't have any medical support in that regard. That's just an indication from her. That's why the commission commenced with a Regulation 29 investigation, requested that she be subjected to a medical examination and submit the commission with a report. But that process was abandoned because she didn't respond.
Honourable members, there is a request.
Yeah, thank you. It's a very challenging one, this one, especially on the fact that you, the points that you actually put forward in terms of your mental and psychological capacity. Because what would be nice would have been to have had a assistance. Then there's a process also in line here. She has taken the matter to the High Court and the matter has not been heard. So there's still another pending matter that has an impact on the process. And there's a disciplinary inquiry in the pipeline, am I right? What is actually motivating the suspension? It's because the processes that are supposed to actually then deal with the problems that exist within the office.
I think the chairperson, the problem is her being present at the office while she has so many judgments against her, tarnishes the image of the judiciary at Delmas. Delmas is not a big place. And while this investigation is conducted, or the inquiry is being conducted, she may also raise this point that she has a problem, a medical problem. Then you can always, if she raises this for instance as a point in limine, then the commission can reconsider its initial position, not to target it as misconduct, but also simultaneously have also an investigation in terms of Regulation 29 into a continued ill health. But that's not the main concern. The concern is her being at the office whilst the misconduct inquiry is pending. The court roles are really in a bad situation, and the longer she stays at the office, the worse it gets.
Thanks, Chairperson, and thanks for the presentation. I think...
So before you continue, I don't think that you fully understand the question. Because now you are saying your concern is to have her in office while she is dead.
I'm sorry, I'm saying that I don't think you fully answer the question. Because you are saying your concern is to have her in office while she has this debt. And the debts are affecting the dignity, the image of the office. And that is a separate issue altogether. But the question there was she assessed? There's a pending court case. There's a disciplinary process. And why they had to want to suspend her. And you go on and say that no, she can raise the point in the meeting. Why leave something to a court process? That's something that you can deal with without leaving it to chance.
I think he can respond well, because some of the issues I wanted to raise was arises from what the owner knows. But okay, that's okay. Because I think here, before us, or before the Ethics Committee and the Commission, we're dealing with a previously disadvantaged woman. But that must also be a consideration. Again, but I feel there's some element of prematurity in terms of having to take these decisions, because an inquiry is not yet finalized. It's like the matter is still, she's still pursuing the matter. But let us end of this thing, the mental condition, and what is it that you have done also in terms of ensuring that you move her from that Delmas court to maybe another court, another environment, or you move her from being in the bench to do other related work, given reports that you may have got either from the doctors or from the supervisors, because from where I'm sitting, I'm just thinking that we can't just rush to deal with her in that way. But again, the issue that relates to her personal death and personal houses, I don't think maybe issues that can be elements that may relate to us having to rush a suspending or provisional suspending. Those are sideline issues. So I think I have a feeling that we may be pretty much in taking a particular line, or the committee must be served with at least more information, particularly alongside the issues of ill health and alongside the comprehensive investigation that was done on her personal. So I'm worried that and I'm also a weird person, I'm in a woman's month, so I need to, when I deal with women this month, I must be thorough in terms of all the reports that before I take in.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, it's a point of order.
Oh, no,
I'm terribly sorry, and I hate to interrupt. I'm just not at all sure that we can, that there's any point to deliberating this matter right now, because I don't believe we have a court. And so we're unable to take any decision whether we agree or not agree. And so I'm not sure that there's any point to...
We are not going to take any decision. The two gentlemen came here at great expense, the taxpayer.
No,
so,
I'm sorry, but are we not going to make any decision on these issues?
No.
We just debating.
We just get the briefing.
Yes.
We just get the briefing.
And then what will you do with these reports?
We would have a meeting of the committee to consider these reports, because now we can take it. So it's really just informing us, and then we'll decide. Not today, because
we're so today we're just chatting about the content.
We're not chatting, we're receiving a brief.
Thank you.
What is going to happen after this meeting is that I will draft a report together with my colleagues for the committee to consider. So we are taking notes on all the issues that members are raising. So yeah, we will draft a report, and then it will be up to the committee then to decide whether we agree with the recommendations of the minister or not. So it is helpful for members to engage with the report so that then we at least get a feel of, you know, what members will do or want to do with this report.
Thank you.
So we agree with that. Great. Can we allow Mr. Honorable Ponga to finish and then Mr. Horn will follow?
Yeah, thanks. I was actually finished when Honorable Member was. I thought she's calling me out of order, but. And she was. And she always gets scared when I'm called to order. I forget you know they want to see first. So I can stop that one. But at the center of this chair is that we need to be more sensitive and get deeper into this case, because just dealing with the administration, it seems there are a lot of other issues that surround this matter. So we need to get deeper and simplify ourselves in terms of the procedure, the mental case, and other avenues, trying to shift her around, take her away from Delmas to maybe to Malakeni. You see, all those kind of things, then I think that's what I wanted to see. But from speaking to person, I think they're out of order. They're just...
It means there's no question.
To discussing an issue on which we agree on that.
I'm
sure he does, being an accomplished lawyer himself, I'm sure he does.
Okay. Over to you.
Ladies, point at citizen two. Actually,
sorry.
Thank you, Chairperson. Indeed, I want to offer a different opinion than the previous two members. Firstly, I want to say that I think we as a committee should be mindful also to uphold and assist the integrity of the office of magistrates as judicial officers. In our deliberations and taking into account the factual background to this matter, I don't think there's really any room to maneuver to a point where we can say that all of the elements or the surrounding factors do not impact on the integrity of the office of a magistrate if left untouched. I want to argue that most certainly the way in which a magistrate conducts his or her own financial affairs, if it leads to civil matters, judgments in the very same district court, must impact on the fitness of such a person to hold office. It would be you are very fond of talking about religion, Chair, and I think if we don't take this into account, it would be as if you say that the pastor can go around doing all sorts of public sins, and then we can say it must not be taken into account when we look at him as a pastor. I think we must go back to the act as a matter of fact, and then we've been alluded to the section which says that to provisionally suspend, there must be reliable evidence of a serious nature to make it inappropriate for the magistrate to perform the functions while being investigated. And I think if we look at this long tale of really serious allegations, now 29 charges of misconduct brought against this magistrate, then obviously it's inappropriate for this magistrate to continue while being investigated. And this magistrate, it has been argued, as she has sort of preempted this now by serving a notice of motion in the High Court, I don't think that should preclude either the minister or ourselves to say, but we still look at what is relevant, and that's the serious nature of what you are being accused of. One cannot preempt what the High Court will do, but obviously the High Court will also take into account that this is part of a statutory process which is being followed by the Magistrates Commission. And then lastly, Chair, I want to argue that whilst we as this committee obviously has an independent function, quite possibly what should happen as well here, and maybe you can also guide us, is that we might also take into account that the minister has already decided to provisionally suspend. And for us to even contemplate not to support this, we will also obviously will have to interact with the minister and hear from the minister why he, after applying his mind, decided to provisionally suspend. I think it will be And that's maybe just a comment, as you say, we will be dealing with this further after the briefing. So I will be very hesitant to overturn or to report to Parliament that we propose that the provisional suspension be overturned unless we have fully engaged with the Minister and heard reasons why the Minister supported the request by the Commission. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I align myself fully with the comments of Mr. Horn. And I have a different concern. I think we're seeing this provisional suspension process purely as punitive. And I'm not sure that we should use it in that light. This magistrate may or may not be ill, I'm sure. But she's clearly out of her depth in this position. She's not managing the court roll. Even with a huge amount of assistance, she's not managing the court roll. She has difficulty dealing with people for whatever reason. She's often absent from work, which makes her ineffective. And it has a knock-on effect on the effectiveness of the administration of justice. And not only the magistrate, but we have to consider here, there's the general public who are being prejudiced by a poorly affected administration of justice. And there's a different concern that I have, if this magistrate is in fact not fit to hold this office, whether there would be any prejudice to the persons who appear in her court, either the accused or the witnesses. And that could have an enormous knock-on effect in terms of review proceedings, and a huge cost could be very prejudicial for everybody, including the magistrate. I note that the suspension is with retention of remuneration, and perhaps the magistrate herself could give some consideration to using this time that she's not placed under pressure in an office to address any illness that she may or may not have. So it could be used to her benefit as well. So in my view, Mr. Chair, I tend to agree with Mr. Horn. The Minister has obviously considered all these issues, and I'm sure that in his vast experience as an advocate, he has considered the implications for the administration of justice as well. And I would be very hesitant to go against an action that is already taken under these circumstances. I think we should give the matter a lot more thought, but I don't think that we should view it simply as a punitive measure against the magistrate. I think in this instance it may well be of assistance to her, and then particularly for her health. Thank you.
What I think Mr. Horn and Ms. Bredenbach, you are not addressing, is the history of the matter shows that there were personality clashes between Ms. Malahlela and the former head of office who resigned. And there's another element that she has been on probation for 10 years. And those may be contributing factors to her state of health. And also that, you see, the law is not just a statute. The law is underpinned by values. So we can't just say, because we are following a statutory process, we leave the human element in it, because we are dealing with a human being. So the question of health, therefore, cannot be left out of context. And I agree with you, Ms. Bredenbach, that we also need to interact with the minister, because we can, as this committee, just say that because he has agreed, and therefore we agree. Our duties are oversee and look at the merits and the demerits of the decisions of the executive. We are not rubber stamping here. Honorable Mataki.
Thank you, Chair. In terms of the whole issue of insolvency, I think has been covered by Honorable Horn in terms of reference to integrity of the office. And also to say that we need to go back to the Act to see whether what the Act says in terms of had been insolvent now, as to whether it's an impact on her continuation of office. In that regard, I think we need to look at it and just be sure. Another thing is that you are concerned, and partly the chair is answering it, to say that it's almost like overturning the minister's decision. The matter is coming to us in order for us to actually ratify. So I think we need to actually be in a position to interrogate it and agree with it. And if we're not agreeing with it, we obviously have to engage the minister on it. And to actually indicate the reasons why we may probably may not want to continue to support the decision should we come to that kind of conclusion, because for now we're just engaging. And another question says that she wanted an assurance as to whether this suspension it is suggesting will be with pay. And I think we need to take into consideration also the fact that the commission itself has got powers to hold suspension. And you actually, yes, to hold the salary. And you'll actually only have give a report afterwards. So in a way, it means if suspension takes place, it will then therefore mean that we don't have control over whether the suspension can continue with the salary or not. And I think one thing that is really important to note here is that this matter has been in the pipeline for too long. There's been so many problems. But what you don't get is how attempts were actually made to deal with the problem. If you talk about the comments, there's nothing that is really too clear to some training institution, justice college, whichever it is that then there's actually an opportunity to participate in some program in order for whatever areas you are concerned with could be dealt with, because this is what needs to happen. And also I'm concerned about this probation of 10 years, the regular. And I think it's an unfair labor practice for somebody to be on probation for 10 years. Honorable Bongo raised also another important issue to be. This is a women's month. We will be very much concerned when we see a woman being in trouble, especially in an area that we have already expressed concern in terms of participation of women. And my other one is that, you know, this looks like it's a case of almost similar to a legislate Miles remember Magistrate Miles in Argentine. She was a woman. The difference is that she was a white woman, and she experienced almost similar problems of this nature. And I'm just highlighting this because also I want to ask the question as to what percentage of women do you have as magistrate? And I'm sure it's a low percentage. If that's low percentage, actually manages to give us women who are really struggling mentally and psychologically, then actually gives a whole different dimension of the problem. And maybe a whole different approach that we need to adopt in terms of dealing with natures of this nature. So that's what I think we actually need to do in terms of also observing just the women month.
I'm not sure if if you did say that, was she declared insolvent or you are just saying she has debt? Because the two are not the same.
Dr. Chapin, there are so many issues raised now. Can I just maybe respond to some of them? She's not been declared insolvent. This was never mentioned. But she has a lot of civil debts against her and agreements that she would settle the debts, but never honored those agreements. But it's not only that. It is her poor performance. The fact that she is absenting herself from office. She hasn't caught well today. She's not reporting to the office. She's not there to attend to the courtroom. She's ignoring her head of office now, who was mentoring her. I must say, in the past 10 years, the commission really went out of the way to try and mediate this, especially at the time when she was with Ms. Fulhune, who resigned. Maybe it was a clash of interest, and that's why the appointments committee and delegation of the appointments committee, any ethics committee, went down to Delmas. They were not able to mediate because they were not willing to. And she always appoints an attorney, and that was the delay. And she's again now delaying this matter. While she's now been charged, now she filed a notice of motion. She never took it further. We haven't been informed as yet. There's no date as yet set down. We have not filed a responding affidavit, etc., etc. So, and it would be in the best interest of herself that the matter be finalized as soon as possible. And she has been appointed in Delmas to enhance transformation for that purpose specific. And when she was asked, can we not utilize you for training purposes, for guidance, and for mentoring to Nelspur, she said, no, I'm appointed here and I want to stay here. And that is our problem. And you cannot utilize the magistrate who took the oath of office to sit in court and adjudicate other matters to perform other work. She's a magistrate, she's a judicial officer. You cannot give her any other work. That would, in any event, overburden the other magistrate. So if she's suspended from office, provisionally suspended from office, at least we can appoint an acting magistrate to deal with the court rolls. It's not only the civil debt, Chairperson, maybe I will just add, if one has to look at the content of the charges, there were allegations that he slept at court, it's just chewing bubble gum, etc. The content of the 29 charges is, in our view, and if one refers them to the Act, that the allegations, the Commission is satisfied that the existing allegations are so serious that if she's found guilty of misconduct, that she may be removed from office. And that's why the suspension is recommended. It's not because she's a woman. Ms. Miles was a totally different story. She was subjected to an investigation to continue e-health. Reports were made that she suffered from major depression, etc., etc. But she also made various and numerous judicial, mistakes. But by this time, she should have known better. But Ms. Miles was eventually removed from office by Parliament. With regard to illness, Jefferson, like I said, there is a different route to take, but she didn't even cover this in her application of notice of motion. the fact that she filed a notice of motion is an indication that she still delays the matter. She needs to be either appointed or not appointed. And really, as I said, from the commission side, numerous obligations were sent to Delmas to try and resolve the issues at hand. That's in the future.
Honourable Chairperson, as Secretary of the Commission, obviously when this matter was deliberated by the Commission, I was present. And in an effort to assist you, I want to share with you that the concerns which were raised today by you are the very same concerns which were raised by the Commissions. The Chairperson, the Deputy Minister of Justice, they are very concerned that this matter has been dragging on for so long. 10 years. The view of the Commission was, and I'm trying to assist you as far as the recommendation is concerned, is that the Commission has over the past 10 years tried its level best to resolve this issue and to assist the aspirant magistrate, to assist this lady. You have heard about initial charges which the ethics committee decided not to continue with, a subsequent Regulation 29 investigation which didn't result in any final decision. You would have heard about mediation which was tried by the Commission, and then eventually the Commission again requested that a proper evaluation of the work must be done and that a report must be submitted so that a suitability for permanent appointment can now be finalized. Now, as and when this evaluation report was considered, unfortunately further complaints were lodged to the Commission, and the Commission was made aware about of the civil judgments which were given against this magistrate. Now, at the Commission's meeting, the majority view was this matter must now be finalized. It's unfair to keep this lady in a temporary capacity as an aspirant magistrate for so long. We must finalize this matter. So the Commission's view was there is now prima facie evidence of the alleged misconduct which was committed by this magistrate. The Commission has a responsibility, if there is prima facie evidence, to act on that. And the only fair process is a misconduct inquiry, a misconduct investigation. In terms of our regulations, there is provision for a very fair process. Now, the problem, and that is the problem that's on your table today, Honourable Chairperson, is that the Commission had to grapple with this issue now. In the meantime, pending the finalization of this misconduct inquiry, is it in the interest of the administration of justice, and is it in the interest of the general public, which is to be served by the magistrate's office at Delmas, for this magistrate to, in the meantime, be utilized on the bench? Now, the majority view of the Commission was it would be in the interest of the administration of justice for her, in the interim, to be provisionally suspended, to be removed from the bench, on condition that they do not terminate her remuneration. She should not suffer any financial hardship during this period that the misconduct investigation is to be finalized. So she will retain her remuneration, but the most serious issue is her utilization at the magistrate's office. You must bear in mind that I am almost certain that some of the summonses which were issued against this lady and which resulted in the civil judgments which were given against her were issued by the very same attorneys who appear as officials of court in the very same court in Delmas. So it causes this serious problem to the Commission that you cannot utilize a magistrate on the bench to deal or to adjudicate over matters in respect of which the magistrate is also guilty, because that would give the wrong impression to the man in the street. The utilization of the magistrate in the meantime without judging the outcome of the investigation is therefore a crucial issue. And the commission resolved that it would be in the interest of the administration of justice to recommend to the minister and to you as part of the parliamentary process that in the meantime she be removed from office on condition that she retains her remuneration and that this fair process of a misconduct investigation be followed. I also share your concerns regarding her health. It has been raised in the past, but I can assure you that in terms of the provisions, if her health condition is an issue which contributed towards the alleged complaints against her, surely that's an issue that she or her legal representative will raise at the hearing, and which will be taken into account by the presiding officer who will adjudicate this matter. So you sit with this very same dilemma that the commission had to consider, and that is, should she in the meantime be removed from the bench as a provisional measure pending the outcome of this investigation with remuneration, or should we leave her at the office but then at the same time run the risk of the community, of the public in general, accusing the commission of allowing a magistrate under those circumstances to still adjudicate over civil matters, and that was the real issue. I hope that this bit of background as what happened at the magistrate's commission can be of assistance to your committee to come to a decision. Thank you, Honourable Chief.
That was good. This problem has been with you for 10 years. And you see, the question whether or not a person is fit for office, in my view, must be determined at the time of appointment. So if that person qualifies to enter the profession as fit and proper, the next question is capacity building. And there's no evidence that there was any attempt to develop this person. As Honorable Majaki said, I think Honorable Bonga said, these are people who come from previously disadvantaged background. And working in an area like Delma, you know the past from which we come from. There are also questions of interracial relationships which can affect the situation. So there's really a need to assist people to find each other. So we can't simply look at the interest of justice, because the interest of justice will be served when people can work together, when can find each other, and so on. And the leadership of the court therefore has a responsibility to help people to find one another, to reconcile the cultural differences, the cultural shocks, and this type of thing. So all the steps that you have listed here are fair steps, but they don't address the health question. And why leave the health question to the inquiry? You charge a person, you say, go and address the health situation there. When you know before the charge that the person has health problems, why don't you deal with it before? Because by simply appearing before the inquiry has his own stigma. And if you suspend this person in order just to get it out of the way, it has his own stigma. That's why I agree with Honorable Majaki that why don't you redeploy this person elsewhere? Because if she got her impression from Delma and the circumstances which created the depression are still there, there's no way she's going to improve. For me, I think any statutory application of any statute which does not recognize that we are dealing with human beings, I think that would be problematic. But another problem that I have here is that the matter is before the court, and now you want this committee to ratify the decision of the commission, and the next day the court invalidates the decision of the commission, which would mean that the minister made a mistake, the parliament made a mistake, then we get dragged into something that can even bring this parliament and the minister into disrepute. So the question I want to put to you is, is it not advisable that we let the cost process take its course? Because whatever we take, decide here, will not force the court to uphold the decision of the commission. Now, why should parliament be asked to uphold the decision of the commission, which the court may overturn next week, and then all of us are tainted by something that could have been avoided?
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I hear what you said. Now, I fully appreciate your concerns. If I can assist, please remember again, we are not decision makers. We are just part of the secretariat. All I can do is to assist you to explain to you what moved the Magistrates Commission to come up with this recommendation. All I can say in an effort to assist the committee is that on the table is a recommendation whether to support the provisional suspension of this lady or not. That is all that is on your table. The decision of the Magistrates Commission to charge her is a decision in respect of which your committee has no jurisdiction. So I'm just trying to assist your committee in deciding what you can do today. It's either yes, we support suspension, or we do not support suspension. If you do not support suspension, and that is also the view of the other committee, obviously that recommendation which was made to the minister will then lapse, and the suspension will immediately lapse, and the lady will be entitled to continue with the services at the office. But your concern regarding her health is perhaps something which your committee can consider to recommend to the commission to say, well, our majority view is not to suspend, but we also feel that the commission is obliged to look into this lady's health condition. In an effort to assist you on that issue, I just want to mention to you that she has never, until today, during the past 10 years, approached the Magistrates Commission with a request to, first of all, for assistance with her health problem, but secondly, to vacate office due to ill health, which is a provision in our regulations. That was never an issue. So she never raised that with us. But you are fully entitled, in my view, Honourable Chairperson, to come up with such a recommendation as part of your decision if you are concerned about health. The unfortunate issue is that all this on your table today is yes, for suspension or no. The misconduct inquiry will proceed. Irrespective of your views, with all due respect, I'm here to assist you. You cannot stop the Magistrates Commission from instituting the misconduct investigation. That is a decision which the statutory body took, and that will proceed. The question is, during this process, must she be remain at the office, or must she be suspended? And then I have appreciation for your views regarding the health. Very much so, sir.
Medical reports indicated that she suffers from major depressive disorder and panic disorder. The condition does not render her unfit to work, but she has continued with monthly psychotherapy and medication. Now, if this depression arises from the conditions in Delmas at work, and now she is fit for work in Delmas, where the cause of the problem is, this therapy that she is undergoing, can it really be effective? My view would be that the situation there is the problem, and the depression is the problem, and how do you put a sick person on trial? A person who is massively depressed, who put them before a disciplinary inquiry. I don't think that the process really would be inhuman. The law, application of the law would be correct, but the application of the law would be inhuman. And I don't think we can remove the human element out of a legal process. So I don't know, but for the committee to decide, but I just think here we are dealing with something that does not require what we are doing. We need to take this person out of this situation and assist this person in terms of health. But suspension, because he's sick, creates a stigma. And the stigma, you can, there's no process to remove the stigma. Honorable Minister.
Chairperson, we had indicated earlier that we don't form a quorum, we're going to engage, and then there will be a report that we're going to develop out of the engagement. I think by now we have an idea of what the opinion of the committee is all about around the whole issue of suspension and the concerns that have been raised around her ill health. And the fact that is a condition that needs to be taken into consideration in the whole situation, so that we shouldn't actually expose her to an inhuman process. And of course, Ms. Kuhlman, you actually say that you will continue with your disciplinary inquiry, and rightfully so, you've mentioned that we cannot intervene. But also you need to take into consideration that processes are such that as long as you come and want to have our opinion, will make input. So it's not possible for us to just give a yes or no answer, because we need to apply our minds to it and also give an opinion, and the opinion can never be yes or no, because at the end of the day, what we need to do is to actually manage to assist your office to really manage to come up with a process that will be fair and just at the end of the day that is being reported by this committee. One thing that is of concern to me is that the Registrar's Commission has had a challenge of vacancies. And I think for now, what is important is to look at how we help the small number of magistrates that we've got to manage to continue to work, because we have a challenge of how many agencies have we got up to about 300 vacant posts. That's a lot. Yes, 300. So if we're going to, out of the few that we've got, we find that we're not in the position to retain the few that we've got, it creates a very impossible situation for the Magistrates Commission. So basically, the point that I'm making is that I think already we have an idea of the committee chair is saying. We will develop a report that we will share with you around this issue. Maybe it will be good to go to the next item, the next matter. We don't form a quorum.
We do now.
Okay. Do you want us to continue maybe to decide on the matter now? Okay.
Chairperson, sorry, I had my hand up earlier and
I must apologize. You are so cooperative that you want to
Thank you, Chair. I want to make the following input, and that is that I'm a bit worried that we as a committee, or certain people within the committee, as a matter of fact, it would seem as if we, on behalf of this magistrate, are more worried about the possibility that her illness is impacting on her fitness to hold office than she is. Because what we've heard from the two representatives of the Magistrates Commission is that despite the Section 29, if I'm correct, proceeding that was instituted, that was aborted on more or less on her initiative. And despite efforts to engage with her regarding the impact of the depression on her effectiveness as a judicial officer, she chose not to pursue that route. So I think it would be, as a matter of fact, improper for us, we're not psychologists, we're not medical professionals, to sort of substitute the point of view of the person as displayed by her own actions with our own view or an own view that it's Delma's making her sick and contributing to the depression which makes her not as effective as she should be. There's been made a remark that quite possibly the fact that it's coming a long time and that she's been on probation for quite a number of years is an unfair labor practice. I think there's another side to that coin. The Honorable Malaki was also, I think, previously a member of the Magistrates Commission, and she will know that I think, as a matter of fact, Magistrates Commission has no intent or interest in keeping people on probation for longer than is necessary. The fact that this magistrate, as a matter of fact, has never been taken off probation is going to also answer your argument regarding whether that she was deemed fit to hold the office of magistrate when she was appointed. I think that to a large extent counters that argument, because the probation period to ascertain whether somebody indeed is fit and proper to hold the office of magistrate on a permanent basis. And it's because of the action of this person that the Magistrate Commission has never been able to make that determination. By way of time now, lapsing and other members also coming here, it would seem as if we're about to take a vote. To my mind, it would be strange that we expect of members to come and take a vote now who's not heard everything we've said. So I would, in any event, move still and that we maybe get a report of all the inputs made today, and that we also maybe engage with the minister before we take a decision as a committee as to hear what was the minister's reasons when he applied his mind to support the provisional suspension. Thank you.
What I know is that depressed people sometimes don't make rational decisions, and that's why many of them even become suicidal. They want to kill themselves. Such people, I think, are safe. I don't know whether we want to put such people who cannot make rational decisions, put them on trial. But let me leave it to the country. Can I?
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. May I just suggest then that if for purpose to be as assistance to the committee, if we submit you to the medical reports, because that was quite a few years ago when these reports were submitted and evaluated and considered, and I'm not sure whether she still suffers from depression, that we submit these reports to the committee before you make a reservation or take a reservation. That will assist you.
I agree with you, surprisingly, 100%, when you say that you don't want to put somebody who doesn't make rational decisions on trial. I think we should investigate the status of the health, as I said previously to you. My concern is this. If we're concerned, so concerned about her rationality, then she would certainly be somebody that I wouldn't want to put on the bench either, for her own best interest and for the interest of the administration of justice. Thank you.
Well, thanks, Chair. I think we have listened very carefully to the presentation. We generally agree with the presentation, but we think something is lacking. Let's exhaust all other avenues, because I think I like the way you put it, Uti. The point where the application of the law is entirely correct, but we are applying the law to a wrong person. But we are right in terms of the whole procedure and substance, but the person that you are applying the law on is just a wrong person. So the I think what we are appealing here is that let's exhaust all our avenues, including, among others, to take it to another place, including to remove her from the bench and be elsewhere, because we are not only staying, people are employed by the as much as they can also be utilized to do other administrative jobs and so on and so forth. So before, but I think my attitude is that this matter, I think we need to do something a bit premature. Let's do other things before we get into this final recommendation that they want us to take. We will take it as maybe, but we are just aware that the issues have not been properly exhausted.
Thank you, Chair. Indeed, I think we need to look at the alternative remedy. Maybe it will be meant that should be shifted either from that office to a different office, and maybe not in the same place, because even if she's not on the same chain, she's still in the same environment, it may not actually help, because there is a stigma around what has happened previously. And to say to the Honourable Hall, yes, indeed, that's been under the Safe Commission, but this is not matters that are discussed before the Commission. The Commission will get the report on this, but they're not actually going to be deliberating. Commissioners for sub-committees. For my short stint as a Commissioner, I didn't have any opportunity of dealing with this matter in the Ethics Committee. Maybe if I did, then more comment would be much more relevant. So basically what we're actually really suggesting is that in the interest of justice, let's rather get alternative remedy. And we're not saying that alternative remedy means that this person is going to in the office and not almost like it's somebody who's supposed not to be touched. If there are other problems within that office, don't you think that it will then justify what is happening now? Because then it's not going to be just alternative remedy. It will be alternative remedy, and of course the whole issue of incapacitation, mental incapacitation, will then be systematically addressed in a way that will actually manage to give justification that it has been dealt with correctly. And then we can come to a conclusion at some point. Thank you.
Honourable members, I think a good case
has been made that we exhaust all the avenues, that we look for alternative remedies, and that could include, for instance, giving a special leave to attend to her health situation, but that does not, you don't have to suspend a person to achieve that. So I really don't know why we shouldn't simply say here that we are not in a position to support the suspension, because this other avenues have not been exhausted, the alternative remedies have not been considered, so we are not empowered to take a decision to support the suspension.
Anyone have any problem with that?
Welcome, Honourable Mpumulwana. I can see your head is getting grey. You must have been working hard where you were.
Yes, Chair, I'd like for the record to reflect that I support the suspension.
Thank you, Chair. I too would like the record to reflect that I support the suspension.
Record that the
that issue is premature because we, for instance, don't know the state of health as of now. We are told that the medical reports that are there are old. They themselves don't have the recent information. So if we support the suspension, we'll be taking an uninformed decision. And this committee cannot take uninformed decisions. Thank you very much. So we don't support the suspension at this point. Can we pray for tea and then we'll come back and address the amendment?
When she arrived, then we were in the house. There was no space. That's a good thing. No problem, Jay. She must put me in order. I apologize. When she might keep me, so I can't afford to have a friend there. Otherwise, she'll take away my right to occupy the
Thank you.